Well, a familiar voice joins us this morning, Dr. Rich O'Neill. Good morning, Dr. O'Neill. We caught a headline recently that focused on whether teens should be routinely screened for depression. This was a panel recommendation. Who's the panel?
Yeah, well, it was a government panel that looked at this issue about, looked at the research about depression in adolescents and younger kids, and found that, yes, their recommendation is that you actually, a good idea for pediatricians to screen for depression. About 1 in 20 adolescents and 1 in 40 kids younger than 12 are depressed, are seriously depressed. And over the course of adolescence, about 1 in 5 kids will experience depression. So it's very important, not only for pediatricians, but for parents to keep your eye out for, does your kid look down in the dumps? Do they look like they're having a hard time? Are their grades slipping? Do they stop socializing? All of those kinds of things would suggest maybe my child is depressed.
You know, I have to think back to adolescence, and certainly when I was raising my own kids, and there were days, there were weeks that they would seem down in the dumps.
Yes.
They had an argument with somebody at school, or somebody made fun of them, or whatever it might be.
Yes.
That's not exactly what you're talking about, is it?
Yes. Well, that is very episodic experience of depressed mood. The difficulty in adolescence is kids are impulsive. Their brains aren't fully developed until you're about 24, 25 years old. So they're much more likely to act in some kind of self-destructive way. Suicide and motor vehicle accidents are the number 1 and 2 reasons kids die when they're adolescents.
And so, even they may be related, right?
Yes, I mean, they may be related. Yeah. Kids may have an intentional motor vehicle accident.
Sure.
But so you want to really take it seriously. If your child, for instance, starts to talk about wanting not to be around anymore, or explicitly says something about killing themselves, or to one of their friends, or you overhear it, you really want to take that very seriously. Somebody who starts to talk about wanting to kill themselves is 7 or 8 times more likely to kill themselves than somebody who doesn't.
Well, now that's teens and suicide, and surely that's the extreme of being depressed and upset. But I've got to think that there's a lot of middle ground, and parents in a lot of cases are missing that middle ground. And that's really what this task force was talking about, right, is this middle ground. So I'm a parent. What do I need to be looking for? What tells me that it's not just an episode, that it really is depression that needs to be reviewed?
Well, some of the criteria are if it goes on longer than a certain period of time, a couple of weeks, then you're entering into an extended period of depressed mood.
And what about like their grades?
Yeah, if grades drop, if they stop hanging out with their friends, if they stop doing things that they typically do, if you have a sense that their mood has just been down for quite some time, and they start saying things about how they're guilty over this or guilty over that, feeling bad about themselves, putting themselves down, those kinds of things are an indication that your child has started to feel bad about themselves, bad about their lives, bad about the future. If they one really important sign is if they start to give away objects that they prize possessions, that also can be a sign. They're thinking about leaving the world. They're thinking about killing themselves. So you want to really take any of those things seriously.
For the parent who starts to observe those kinds of things,
the
recommendation here was that they take the child to the pediatrician and have that child screened. What we also know, though, is that there aren't very many pediatricians, not enough of them at least, who are really familiar with what it is they need to do for these kids. What does a parent need to do to advocate for their child?
Well, the pediatrician is a good place to start. The profession, medicine, is getting more sophisticated about emotional disorders. But if you have a serious concern, take them to your pediatrician, but also a psychologist, a psychiatrist, those folks are much more highly trained in dealing with emotional disorders, obviously, much more likely to recognize it, actually, than pediatricians, and are able to treat both medication for adolescents and psychotherapy. And if you're concerned about medication, there are side effects. Psychotherapy, there's no harm to psychotherapy, to talking with someone who's trained to talk to somebody, and the potential benefits are large. If the child doesn't want to see a psychologist or a shrink, you know, that if there's some kind of stigma, take them to somebody who they'll want to talk to.
Okay.
You know, a favorite aunt, the rabbi, the priest, the whoever they feel comfortable talking to, so they can unburden themselves. And that might be enough for them.
Sure, we've talked
to get them through a tough spot.
We've actually talked at other times about the fact that studies have been done that drugs and psychotherapy almost have the equal effect in most cases of depression.
Yes. Yeah.
That, and it may take longer to go through the therapy because they're talking and they have to work things out. But if it has the same effect as the drugs, you know, parents have that choice for their children.
Yeah, with major depression, though, it's the combination that tends to be the most useful over the long haul. Drugs have a short-term effect, but don't tend to have a long-term effect. You need the psychotherapy combined with the drugs to have the longer-term antidepressant quality.
Do you see that there are more kids depressed now than there ever were, say, 20 years ago or 30 years ago?
I don't think there's a difference in the number of kids. I think it's probably we're more apt to notice it.
Mm-hmm.
We're becoming more aware. We used to block out. We used to think childhood is great.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah, and we'd get upset with kids, and we'd tell them to kind of suck it up and get on with life.
Yes,
and really dismissing them in many cases.
Yes, and you don't want to do that. You want to have an open pathway for them to talk to you about their concerns so they can feel like they can talk to you. And then maybe that might in itself be enough for
sure.
The child. But if they're still depressed, you want to rely on a professional.
I have to think that if we don't attend to this, if we do dismiss our kids, do they then grow up to be depressed adults?
Depression can be a lifelong disorder.
Mm.
So kids and people who are depressed as children are more likely to be depressed as adults. So yeah, you want to take it seriously as early on as possible. Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's People Magazine version of Checkup from the Neck Up. Well, dear listeners, bet you can't guess what really famous person strolled into my consulting room the other day for a little confidential tete-a-tete. Nope, President Obama's appointment isn't for another year or so when the Washington honeymoon is really over. And no, Tiger Woods' mental game of golf tune-up is on hold until, well, he loses sometime. Anyway, give up? All right, I'll tell you. Former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin, you betcha, on her Central New York visit last week, she stopped in our ER complaining of chest pain. My ER buds found nothing wrong with her ticker, thought she might need a little checkup from the neck up, and sent her over for a little look-see. Here's how our conversation went. Well, Ms. Palin, betcha know that the number one cause of death in the U.S. is heart disease. You betcha! But betcha didn't know that over 80% of heart disease can be prevented with a heart-healthy lifestyle. No, over 80%? You betcha! And betcha knew that daily exercise, a healthy diet, a good weight, not smoking and drinking alcohol in moderation, if at all, makes up that heart-healthy lifestyle. You betcha! But betcha didn't know researchers just found even if you're overweight or obese, exercising hard enough to just, quote, break a sweat just 1 to 3 times a month reduces your risk of heart failure. Wow, just getting sweaty a couple times a month, even if you're chubby? You betcha. And betcha didn't know that losing as little as 10 pounds lowers your risk of heart disease, too. No, just 10 pounds. You betcha. And betcha didn't know that if you feel hopeless about all this and can't think of a fun way to get moving more in your life, you might be depressed. No, you betcha. And therapy can help get your get up and go back so you can start acting healthy again. But why do I have such a pain in my chest, Dr. Neckup? That's easy, Sarah. You're politically heartbroken. And the best medicine for you would be heading to Carousel Mall for a little walk. Oh, Doc, I could just say I'm stimulating the economy, too. You betcha. And is it true that from the observation deck you can see Canada? You betcha. I could hold up a sign thanking the Canadians who voted for me. You betcha. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening. Now you say, you betcha, dear listeners.